Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 229, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah! It's a production of iHeartRadio. It's a podcast, this one, where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's Monday, March 21st, 2022, which of course means that it's National Corn Dog Day. It's National Certified Nurses Day, also.
You know what? I fucked up. That's what Saturday is.
That's all right.
It's International Color Day and World Puppetry Day.
Okay. I love both of those things. Color, also, colorful puppets.
National French Bread Day, National California Strawberry Day, and World Down Syndrome Day. We got it all today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to all of those things.
Mm-hmm. It's Monday,
all the amazing,
it's not Saturday.
People putting in work for the Downs community in America. Awesome. Well, Miles, I haven't introduced you yet, so I'm not going to.
I will shut up. Mm-hmm.
You know, we've only done this 1,000 times. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Take me down to the KFC where the Colonel's pretty and the candles are gravy. Oh, won't you please take me down under... Woo! That is courtesy of Warren the Werebear, everybody's favorite werebear. And also in honor of Australians' KFC tasting menu, where the Colonel does look very pretty on the stenciled plate that you're supposed to lick. And the gravy candles are a revelation, a revelation, as we put it, because I use that word so often that I have to shorten it. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
The apple bottom eating all of the core. Her Majesty was looking disturbed. The way I bite that apple button, I start low, 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 low. Shout out to Rumham McDuck on the Discord. Because, we start the apples from the bottom. Okay, that's how we eat them. Not from the sides. We eat it straight from the bottom to make onlookers disturbed. This is the new, I know, and our guest, right? Another time I've said something and the guest is just aghast without saying anything, talking about eating apples from the bottom.
Bottom up.
So anyway, bottom up.
Yeah.
Not top down. You feel me?
Not top down like a good organization. Bottom up.
Nope. Bottom up.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant actress, writer, podcaster, educator. It is the brilliant, the talented Karama Donkwa!
Karama!
Hello, hello. Thank you. I didn't prepare an AKA. I should have. I've been here before. I want to be cool like you guys, but
I can't match your singing prowess. Thank you for having me again.
Have you?
Yeah. Cool is definitely the operative word. Very, very cool. What very you've cool, just witnessed cool. here at the start
very
of our
cool,
show.
Very legal.
I'm also the only person not wearing a hat. And I feel like rude that I didn't get that memo.
And you eat your apples from the side. I'm assuming based on your reaction to that song I was singing.
Oh, I don't eat apples because I like to fight doctors.
I have a tiny apple today, guys. It's my mid-record snack. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's time. I could probably eat it in like 3 bites, I think. But I don't know. I still have yet to try the bottom to the top method of apple eating. So maybe it'll happen. Maybe it'll happen live to on tape Instagram. On this podcast.
I feel like the way that you eat a food is very important. And I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to eat it from the bottom up. It feels very wrong.
These are the kinds of guests we have on that just challenge the paradigm as we know it, you know, and push us further and further out and saying, you know, there's no wrong way to eat an apple. And it just looks wrong.
Well, like I bit into a Kit Kat once, just like the whole thing. And it didn't taste right anymore. It just wasn't a Kit Kat.
Right. Like, you didn't break them apart. You're just bite through all four.
Big bite through all four of them.
And now it looks like a pan flute made of chocolate.
That's right.
It's for my musicologist out there.
Karama, you are, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you from Chicago currently. Okay. New city for me. I like it so far. It's nice.
Yeah.
A lot of buildings. Great for it. Okay. Happy for Chicago and all of its buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get to witness any of the St. Patrick's Day madness?
I was here on St. Patrick's Day. So a little shenanigans. I'm not a big drinking holiday celebrator. So I was just like minding my business. I actually got my passport renewed on St. Patrick's Day. You know.
The
craziest activity.
You know.
So I spent most of my day in the passport office, but me and the passport office guy are really great. Shout out to Frank at the passport office in Chicago.
Wait, but you're in LA or you're in California most of the time, right? Like
you
live in California, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but you're like, I got to handle my passport shit while I'm in Chicago. Like,
so here's the thing. I'm stupid. So what I should have done is just did it in LA because I didn't do my US passport. I did my Ghana passport. And there are four places in the United States where you can renew your Ghana passport. And one of them is Los Angeles. But I was like, you know what? I'm in Chicago. I don't have anybody here that's trying to hunt me down, that needs anything from me. So I'm just going to do this very important errand while I'm in Chicago. Don't ever do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that.
It just felt like you were so comfortable there. I'm like, damn, look at you really feeling the city. I'm like, yeah, handle some of my federal passport business while I was in town.
It's check the out dumbest the thing building. I think I've done all year.
Right.
And nobody peed on your shoe or anything like that? Like you made it through the Chicago St. Patrick's Day celebration without anybody, just somebody breaking a window in front of you? None of that?
I'm the problem on St. Patrick's Day, which is why I don't really celebrate, because I don't like the Celtics. And there's a lot of people wearing Celtics jerseys on St. Patrick's Day because they are green. Mm-hmm. And so like in 2014, I almost started a fight with a dude at a bar in LA because I was like, you can't wear that here.
Yeah.
We don't do that here. And he was blessedly like, okay, ma'am.
Right. They're like, you're at my bar on St. Patrick's Day.
I had one drink on St. Patrick's Day. I went and got ramen and had one drink. I had like an old fashioned. And I did see a guy in a Larry Bird jersey, and I was feeling feisty after my one old fashioned. And I was like, it's on.
Have you been watching Winning Time on HBO?
No, I haven't.
About the Showtime Lakers? Oh, man, there's some good, if you want to get like energized by like people not liking the Celtics, there's some good scenes in there where I'm like, yes, celebrate our back.
Karama just cracked her knuckles like she was we're going in. I am a fellow Celtic despiser. So
there's no reason for me to hate this. This rivalry has basically been dead since Larry Bird and Magic Johnson retired.
Same.
There's literally no reason. It's just the thing I hold on to. It's my hobby.
I had beef with Danny Ainge. He's gone, and I'm still like, man, I still really do not like this team. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
You always bring that up. You're like, I thought with Danny Ainge,
I thought it was going to be gone. Well, I always bring it up on this show. You should talk to my therapist, you know? They're like, that's all I talk about. No.
Also, I know there's a listener named Alicia from Boston who's going to be in my mentions right now, because whenever I bring up
Alicia,
Boston,
like, I love you. I love the people of Boston.
Alicia, you get the pass.
And you know what? My dislike of the Celtics.
I don't know. I mean, don't come into my house wearing that.
The people
that trash,
of Boston.
Though.
Some people in Boston are great. Boston as a city, though, does have a reputation for being Dicey. Just a little bit racist.
So. A little bit. I heard a few things from the history books.
I should not give the global pass to the people of Boston. That's probably a little much, but there are great people in Boston.
No city deserves a global pass, I think.
No.
Definitely not Los Angeles. I'm from a trash city, too.
Yeah. Right.
Chicago's great, though. Thanks, Chicago.
Chicago is great.
Honestly, yeah. My grandparents are from Chicago, so I'll give some people the grandparent blanket pass.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a grandparent in Chicago, great. There it is. Boom.
Boom.
We honor you.
All right. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Karama. Yeah. But
amazing.
First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're talking about standard time as opposed to daylight savings time.
Yep.
This bummed me out a little bit because I instinctively prefer daylight savings time. But I think it's from a selfish point of view. And so we're going to talk about, some people are saying we should not have frozen the clocks at daylight savings time. We should have frozen it at standard time.
Standard. Yep.
Which makes sense, I guess.
It is the standard.
It is the standard. But it's only like 4 months out of the year that we're in standard time.
I never know what time it is. And I have to say, one of my pet peeves is that when people write what time zone, they usually write PST, EST, no matter whether we're in daylight savings time or not. And I'm like, words mean things.
Guilty. Oh.
Just write PT and ET. There's
so
there's a fix for it.
Yeah.
That's
a great point.
Oh, yeah. Because what? PST is Pacific Standard Time, right?
Right. But we're in PDT right now.
Okay.
I do all of mine with Greenwich Standard Time and then plus minus, you know, however many hours it needs to be.
So you go off GMT, Greenwich Mean Time?
Yeah, Greenwich Mean Time.
Okay.
In Ghana, they say GMT stands for Ghana Man Time because nothing start on time over there.
We're going to talk about controversy on the Grey's Anatomy writing team, I guess.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about NFTs, baby. They're back.
They're back.
Have you heard about these things? You seen these? So we're going to talk. There's a Pepe NFT, and then there's an article in Jacobin that's talking about like how the crypto world tends to go in one political direction when it comes to who benefits from these, specifically toward the right. It has a It favors the right.
That's the one. I didn't want it.
I know. So we'll talk about why that is. Plenty more, but first, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay. All right. So I just want to preface this by saying this is, again, the third time I've been on this show. Thank you for having me back. And every time I'm like, I'm going to search something that makes me seem mysterious, and then I forget. So you really do get my unadulterated search history. So what I've chosen today is something I searched yesterday, and I searched, why do pickles get to be pickles? Because. Oh. Because pickled cucumbers, in the United States call pickles. And I'm like, well, you can pickle other things. So why do pickles get to be pickles?
Mm.
And I read an interesting article from PBS just about pickling. And I learned a lot about pickled objects and how pickling is a very old practice. And basically, it's just kind of the thing that we pickle the most in the United States. So that's why we call them pickles. And that they were very easy to travel with, because you can just like pull out a pickle and walk around with it.
Right.
Now, you know, our very brilliant super producer Becca Ramos just said, I was gonna be like, all right, that's, you know, that's a thought nobody else has ever had before. But super producer Becca was like, I was just thinking about this the other day.
Thank you, Becca, for being in my corner.
This
has big, like, either 3-year-old thought or like thought I would only have when I was too high, like thought energy to
it. It's
like,
definitely, I think that's what it feels, I'm leaning like more to towards 3 years old, because I feel bad for the other things that are not getting called pickles. Like, why doesn't kimchi get to be called pickles?
Yeah. Right.
Because it has a nice name, you know.
It does have a nice name.
You know what I mean? I think pickles would do kimchi a disservice. So in that's a way, fair. Pickles. I'm actually, when it comes to pickles, do you ever have half sour pickles?
No.
Where they're like halfway between going full pickle and they're still a little bit cucumbery.
That sounds like a bad cucumber.
That's what I thought at first, but it has like this other tech, this quality to it that I really enjoy. Then like a full on green, you know, like swamp green kind of pickle out of barrel kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, to each their own,
And since it is March Madness, I do have to, and pickles are coming up, I do have to mention that a friend of mine, Ryan, once pointed out that Coach K has a face, Mike Krzyzewski has a face that suggests that he loves pickles. And it doesn't really make sense, but it's nothing has ever seemed truer to me than the idea that Coach K loves pickles. So shout out to Ryan Cassidy.
After complaining about a Duke loss, he unwinds with a nice pickle bite. He's like, like he goes after a pickle bite.
In Texas movie theaters, not all of them, but in some Texas movie theaters, you can buy like a movie pickle.
Becca Ramos, producer from Texas, about to come through with probably another anecdote. Wait, so they have movie pickles?
Yeah, like you can buy popcorn or you can buy like a pickle.
And like one of those big forearm size ones?
No, I think it's just a hand sized pickle, like a regular
forearm size one. What the fuck are you eating, bro?
That's salami, Miles. I'm so sorry.
Well, okay, we need to actually, can you show me a picture of what you say a pickle is? Because we might need to reconcile our definitions here.
That's always an interesting little wrinkle. I don't know if this is nationwide or if it's just California or if I just found out about it when I got out here, but pickled jalapenos coming with your popcorn is so great, and it's an option in almost every
popcorn. Where?
You just take a little jalapeno, put it in the handful of popcorn, and it really spices things up. Like,
I've
literally
never heard of this.
Can your precious great Irish palate handle that kind of spice, Jack?
My palate can handle it. The rest of my body begs to differ.
Oh. But
I sweat through my shirt the second I have a bite.
But yeah, my friend who grew up out here turned me on to that, and I have not looked back.
I've never done that, and I've never noticed it.
Oh, I buy a thing of nacho cheese that you're supposed to have for the nachos, the little nacho cup, dip my popcorn in the nacho cheese.
Interesting.
That's when I'm high as fuck at the movie theater, because I'm like, I got to make a meal out of this shit.
And you know what? I probably never noticed the pickled jalapeno popcorn thing because I don't eat popcorn. So that's the reason. Wow.
How do you don't eat popcorn?
No, there's no reason. Like, I will eat popcorn on occasion, but it's not like go-to. I'm never like, oh, I gotta have popcorn with my movie. I just am like, I will not eat here. I will, but you know what?
Oh.
Back when I was like in my AMC A-list days, I would get the chicken tender meal again, me being a 3-year-old, because it came with like chicken tenders and French fries and a cookie, and I would be like, I'm gonna see Captain Marvel and eat my chicken tendies.
There you go. Yeah, because it needs to feel a little more substantial, right, than like an expensive snack. And I feel like if you're going to be paying over $10 for something, you're like, oh, fuck it, man, I'll eat a fucking pizza or whatever. But I like the chicken. Man, I haven't had the chicken tendies at AMC, though. Intriguing.
The popcorn is unfortunately locked in for me as like, go to a movie, got to have the popcorn. It makes me feel bad. Like, after I eat it, I'm like, I just ate so much food that like has no nutritional value, but I think the question is not why someone wouldn't eat popcorn, but why we all eat popcorn. And I don't know.
Why does popcorn get to be the movie snack? It's like, why do pickles get to be pickles? Why is popcorn movie snack? And like, I wonder if in other countries they have other movie snacks that we're just not thinking of. Like, if I went to a movie theater in like New Delhi and they said, hey, you want some samosas? I would fuck that shit up. Like, I would love that.
Yeah, for sure. What is something you think is overrated?
Corn dogs. Y'all mentioned corn dogs earlier, and I was like, that's overrated. I had a whole other thing written down. And I was like, no, crossing that out, corn dogs. I don't like corn dogs.
Flavor?
I feel like the cornbread dipping is never good. It's just too thick and then mostly bland. Like, I want it to taste like good cornbread, and it never does.
Right, okay. right, right.
So it's like a bad hot dog with bad cornbread.
Right. Yeah. So step up the batter recipes. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we're actually eating some really good cornbread on top. Yeah, because there's nothing worse. Like I was like one of these kids who would always want to eat hot dog on a stick because I thought it would taste different the next time.
Yeah.
And you'd always inevitably get some thick ass batter bite. And you're like,
it's nasty. They are very overrated. And you know, I think there exists somewhere a really good corn dog. Yes, I just haven't met her yet.
Yeah. Right. Execution, it's almost always bad. In theory, maybe.
Yeah.
But we need to see it, corn dogs. You're not living up to the promise.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes I think of like, because I liked corn dogs as a kid, but I would always end up like the last third I wouldn't eat. I'm like, nah, it's getting too cornbread, like corny at the bottom here.
It's too thick.
Yeah. Please let us. I'm sure like at a fair or something where you're watching people do them fresh, straight up like that. And I guess hot dog on the stick is pretty fresh too, but.
A mall. Nothing in a mall is fresh.
Yeah. Please direct me into put me in the direction of the good corn dogs, please.
Yeah. I feel like Zeitgang, we can do this. Let us know. Yeah. Go back through the memory. Is there a good corn dog that you've had? What was different about it? Where can it be had?
Mm-hmm. If you have a corn dog recipe that you like to use at home, hit me with that, like an air fryer corn dog recipe. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's possible, but it sounds like it would be good.
There's a listicle about where to find the best corn dog in the world.
The internet, so, you know?
Where is the best one?
Two of the five are in Texas.
Okay.
Dallas at Fletcher's, they say, is really good. Moonshine in Austin. These look artisanal too. Like they look all floppy and shit. Like they have corn dog shrimp? What the fuck is that?
That just sounds like battered shrimp. That sounds like popcorn shrimp.
Yeah, it sounds like popcorn shrimp.
Yeah, but with corn on it. All right. Well,
picturing the good corn dog in your mind, is the corn batter like sticking to the hot dog? That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
Like it's not that like loose sleeve of
no hollowness.
No gap. I mean, like no thigh gap, no corn dog gap, no gap.
No
fluffy corn. No frank gap. Fluffy cornbread, not like when you're saying thick, it's not like size wise it's too thick. It's that it's like the batter is like too like consistent.
It feels like pasty almost.
Yeah.
It dries your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
I just want delicate, corn dog like chefs. It's almost like, oh, the cornbread, and then it's fluffy. That's the experience I'm looking for. I can only make sounds to describe it. But if you connected with that, let me know where I can have that.
This is why it needs to be a video podcast. You guys could have seen Miles's performance of the process of eating a corn dog.
It was... Please let us know if you want this to be a video podcast, so then we can...
If it is, thank you for my last visit. I will not be coming back.
Not this one. In general.
What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, so we all know Wordle, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. That's separate. Hurdle, H-E-A-R-D-L-E, is my favorite sort of like Wordle offshoot where it's music and you have like 16 seconds to figure out what the song is, and they give you like increasing length clips. Yeah.
This is huge. We've been talking. I'm a big Wordle head and Quirtle. And have not liked many of the variants, but then they dropped Purtle on us, which is how you pronounce the NBA player who Ja Morant like put into a grave dunking on a few weeks back. Somebody released it, like it's like you got to guess the NBA player, and it's got like the various like statistics or not statistics, but like team height, position, jersey number, like all these things, and like those
are
the
fun and specific.
It is fun and specific, but that game, I was like, oh, this is there's a whole universe you could do in this format. Mm-hmm. I said movies, but songs sounds great.
Yeah.
It's really great. And I feel good about myself when I get a good hurdle score. Like when I get 1 second, if I get 1 to 4 seconds, I feel great about myself.
Yeah.
1 to 4 seconds. Okay. So tell me, what are the... Like, how does the song reveal itself?
So you get 1 second to start. So if you can get it in that 1 second, then that's your, like, you get six, there are six different increments of time. So, like, with Wordle, you have six guesses. but they get increasingly longer. So it's total 16 seconds. So I think it's 1 second, and then you can add another second, and then you can add like two more seconds.
Got it. Okay.
And like then
I'm at the website. Hopefully we don't get sued. And if we do, we'll bleep it out. But this is here.
This is Friday's hurdle. So don't worry.
Yeah. It's already passed. I've also already done today's. I did it at like 2 a.m.
Okay. So this is the site right here. And then, so here's the play button, and then you play it. And then I'm imagining this like first segment is all that plays to be like, okay, you got it off of this. And then you put it in, right? Is that how it works for Rama?
Yep.
Okay. So here we go, Jack. We're going to hear the first second.
Wait, that just sounded like I just got some dead air.
It sounded like a truck idling.
Yeah.
You know what? Seeing it again, this one, it was two guesses for me. The second guess, I got it.
I'm going to need another one. So what do I do? Skip one plus 1 second? Is that what I do?
Yep. So you skip your first guess.
Give us a little more. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget it. Okay. I have a new obsession.
Yeah.
Right? It's fun.
Hold on. Wow. 2 seconds. Okay. Fuck, you really, I know this. All right, forget it. This is doing my head in. I'm like, the whole show is going to be like.
Do you want me to tell you what the song was?
Yeah, what is it?
It's Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk.
That!
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fuck this game.
It does really sound like a car idling.
You know what? Mom, if you're listening, she's not. But this is what, this is why I watched Daft Hands so many times, for this moment.
There it is. Right. That's actually, the fact that you got that on two, pretty wild. Like,
thank you.
That's the best part of like Wordle too, is when you get the word quickly and you're kind of like surprised by yourself. You're like, whoa, my brain. Yeah.
My first Wordle, I got on my second guess, my first ever Wordle. Second guess, and I was like, oh, I can't do heroin because this feels too good, and I'm going to chase this for the rest of my life.
Is Hurdle always the first seconds? Like, does it always open with the opening of the song?
Yes, it does, which is sometimes very annoying.
Yeah, that can be annoying.
You really got to know. Got it. Okay.
I want to dance with somebody in 1 second, and I was with my mother when I played it. She was like, that sounds like firecrackers. How do you know what song that is?
Right.
Because it's got that, like, that comes in hot, right?
Yeah, it comes in very hot.
Yeah, with some drums, and then, oh, yeah.
Look at you.
So I have a soft pitch on Hurdle that this seems simple and perfect, but
yes,
is there a world where you get clues about, like, the year the song came out, the genre of music that the song is from, and then the audio clue is like the fifth or sixth one?
I like that.
That's a soft pitch. That's kind of what I had in mind for the movie version. Hurdle Plus. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Hurdle Plus.
Anyways, thank you so much for introducing us to Hurdle.
You're welcome. Yeah. And shout out to, there's some hardcore iCarly fans that follow me on Twitter. Uh-huh. And I'm like, y'all, I don't talk about iCarly ever. So you're not getting any news from me.
But we love the episode that you wrote.
I'm so scared of getting sued. And I'm like, I'm not going to talk about that show ever publicly.
Gotcha.
But one of the like hardcore fans, he and I follow each other, we're mutuals. He's very nice. His name's Nathan. And I found out about it from him. So shout out to Nathan Duarte for that one.
Okay.
Shout out Nathan. And also maybe check out Daily Zeitgeist, where we thank
Nathan,
you every once
you
in a while.
One
Nathan.
Of our fans too.
Come on, bro.
I know we didn't work on iCarly, but we know people that did, like Karama and Lacey. So like,
yeah, love
so,
Lacey. I don't obsessed know. Obsessed with Lacey. She's underrated. Lacey Mosley is underrated.
Hugely. That is implied. Yeah, I
feel the world is going to fully begin to appreciate her in the next couple years here. I feel like that the ascent is undeniable at the moment.
She's
so
on her way.
She's less underrated than she was a day ago, but still underrated.
Yeah, I sent Lacey flowers last week. Like, I truly love Lacey.
Amazing. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And so this, I'll tell you my first response to this news story. Is Standard Time the thing we actually need to embrace permanently? Was the Sunshine Protection Act passed by the Senate unanimously last week? Was that like, should we have thought that through? My first reaction was like, oh, fuck you. Like,
fuck
this,
off.
This right. This is a thing that everybody was happy about. Do we have to have the backlash? And it's also my, oh, fuck you. I was coming from a selfish place because I just do like having the additional sunlight at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. However, the other major deciding factor in what kind of life I'm living and also like how I interact with the clock is that I have young children and it has been hell trying to get them to go to sleep when the sun is still in the sky.
Yeah.
And their sleep is all fucked up. So enter the push for Standard Time.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of experts are like, why the fuck did you pick daylight savings over standard? Because we've talked about this on the show a lot about how daylight savings causes a lot of issues. Like in general, people, they fucking lose sleep. So naturally, like nearly everybody on the planet or in the place that's observing daylight savings is beginning to get sleep deprived. Stress levels go up. It's like it's like a quantifiable metric to see that heart attacks and strokes increase the week following daylight savings time. And in that same period, there's a 6% increase in fatal car accidents. There's a lot to be like, yeah, this like it fucks us up when we just say, wake up in the darkness.
Well, here's my question, though.
Yes.
I'm not questioning the science. I'm not questioning sure. the research that's been done. I believe Absolutely. That there is a quantifiable uptick in all of those negative health issues. But is that because of the change or is that because of the time itself? Because if we just stick with one time, whatever that time is it mm-hmm. possible that we won't have those issues?
Yeah, that's been my thesis, is that it's the change. It's changing the clock a whole hour. It fucks with people. So I don't think the claim here is that like, well, it's just because daylight savings time is evil and that's why there are these things. I think everybody has assumed that just like this is because of the change, the losing 1 hour of sleep. But I think the point that's being made is that if you are going to choose between the two, daylight savings is not
don't
as good as
don't make it darker
standard.
Earlier.
Right.
Like in the morning, or don't start the day in darkness. Because I think the other thing that they point to is like evolutionarily, we've just been designed to be like, where's the sun at? And then right. and move with that. And so our circadian rhythms are tied to that. So by saying, oh, fuck that, you're going an hour early, our bodies still know. And that's where the problems come up, is where the clock time and our internal clock time are not on the same shit. And so, you know, they also talk about teens. How like adolescents already have like a natural delay, like in their sleep patterns already, mm-hmm. like because of their growth and things like that. So waking up in darkness by going an hour ahead, if they wake up in darkness, it actually makes it harder for them to get to sleep on time. And again, you map all those other concerns about stress levels going up, sleep deprivation, this like, and also that leads to depression. This has, again, a lot of like child development people have been pointing to this really alarming trend. They said in 2019, 1 in 3 high school students and half of female students reported persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, which is a 40% increase from 2009. So they're saying if we're already dealing with this, making kids wake up earlier is only going to exacerbate this, or it's not going to help them. Mm-hmm. If it is, then we need to push back what time school starts.
That's my pitch.
Right. Yeah. Which is, it shouldn't be, well, this is what time school always starts. Fuck what's in the sky. Get your ass to school. And then the other arguments about like, well, and politicians are like, daylight saving time. It's actually, we're going to add more sunlight to the day. Well, it's not, you're going to add more sunlight to the day. That's not how that fucking works. But just for a science explainer, so you can sound really smart at your dinner party this week, because that's what we all do. We all go to dinner parties yeah. with our friends and talk about the New Yorker in our French salons. Mm-hmm. But
I do that.
Says,
I don't know about y'all.
Doing hurdle in the parlor. This is from this Atlantic article saying, quote, because of the Earth's tilt, the sun spends less time above the horizon. Oh, no, this is actually, sorry, this is from the New York Times. Quote, because of the Earth's tilt, the sun spends less time above the horizon during winter, which means we have shorter daylight hours. Year-round daylight savings time would only shift daylight from the morning to the evening, meaning the sun would rise and set an hour later than we're used to from November to March. And again, they're saying this really needs to be considered because of all of like the timing effects that it has on people. So I don't know. While it is nice to have that extra hour of the day, the writer at The Atlantic, Heather Turgeon, posited, like, I wonder if business interest groups thought it's better to do daylight savings time. So if it's lighter towards the end of the day, people will consume more and,
yeah.
you know, and actually patronize businesses more because there's more sun.
Mm.
With having done no research, that sounds like America. That does.
I feel like that's
that
real.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds just about. And the fact that it was unanimous across both parties, I'm like,
You see, that's where the government really fucked up. They showed us that they can get along.
Right.
And now we're going to want that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and they could be like, whoa. But that was about it, because all of our donors, like the one thing all of our donors aligned on mm-hmm. was give us more daylight for people to buy more shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in the sentiment a lot of people have that were celebrating this. A lot of people are like, great, I have more daylight at the end of the day. which I get, it's more energizing. I don't really have an opinion either way. But when I look at these concerns that are raised, I'm like, oh, those are valid, because I feel I was dead tired this last week just trying to adjust. So,
yeah, it does seem like we all got swept up in it. I assumed, based on nothing, that someone was doing the research to be like, this is the better of the two. Turns out not so much. But
yeah. Also, didn't California do this already?
I think Arizona might have.
Arizona and Hawaii don't fuck with it.
We voted on this already in California, and they're just doing a federal version. Because I remember having all these discussions like a couple years ago during midterm elections, because there was some proposition that was like, hey, do you just want to like not change time? And I was like, yeah, I want to change time. That sounds great.
Hell yes.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if that, like how popular that proposition and many others were, gave them the idea of like, all right, well, we can just throw this through and get an easy, quick win in Congress and make it seem like Congress has done something. I wonder how many midterm elections they're going to be throwing this out there.
We got you another day of daylight.
Oh, you guys don't like the sunlight? Okay. Okay, communist. But yeah, I think, again, anything that comes out of Marco Rubio's desk, I'd be like, okay, so which interest group wrote this one?
Right.
I mean, like any fucking senator, to be honest. So, but especially when Marco Rubio is like championing it, I'm like, it really raises the case for, you know, you're in the Sunshine State. I can imagine that business interest groups in that state are like, yeah, more sunshine for make more money spent by people.
Yeah, more Disney. Although, when are they going to do the fireworks? When are they going to do the fireworks?
Think of Fantasmic, will you people? Do they even do Fantasmic
anymore? I think they do.
Speaking of Disney, I could not think of Maui from Moana doing the You're Welcome like rap. I just had this like horrible vision of Marco Rubio doing that like for his next election ad.
Cosplays as Maui.
Dressed like Maui?
Dressed like Maui. Rabbit like telling people you're welcome for the sun in the sky.
I can believe it.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see that shit.
I can see Marco Rubio calling himself an ordinary demi guy.
I'm just an ordinary. Anyways, great song. Marco Rubio, please stay the fuck away from it.
Oh yeah. You have kids. You probably heard that song like a million times.
Oh yeah. It's up there. It's near the top of the charts of the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this Grey's Anatomy writer story. It's just kind of a wild story, but it's definitely something that you see happen on the internet
everywhere
quite a bit. Yeah.
Or just this idea of people taking a little bit from here and there, spicing up their own life to maybe ascend in your job or make yourself more interesting or garner sympathy. But there's this writer, Elizabeth Finch, who's written on Grey's Anatomy since 2014 and has also been on like written on shows like Vampire Diaries, True Blood, you know, like established writer.
These are all my shows also. I'm like, I've been with this woman. Yeah. My toxic trait is that if I'm hanging out with you and we are near a television, I'm going to ask you, hey, do you want to watch the pilot of True Blood? And you're going to say no, and I'm going to make you do it anyway.
I love that energy where you're like, man, if we get high, Karama's going to be like, do you want to watch the pilot of True Blood?
Stone cold sober. Stone cold sober. Time. I will do that shit. I love
it. It's reminding me of me, who would be like, hey, man, you want to watch City of God in like 2005?
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, yeah, City of God. or the pilot of The Shield.
No, but like True Blood is my show.
Yeah.
And she was the writer's assistant on True Blood before she was a writer on True Blood. So she's been with that show. And I was with her the whole time for the whole ride.
There you go.
And I recently rewatched all 8 seasons of The Vampire Diaries. So,
wow.
Yeah. And I am 2 episodes behind on Grey's Anatomy. So I've watched 18 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. So I'm really upset with Elizabeth right now.
Yeah.
Lindsay, who's directing. Were you familiar with Elizabeth before this story broke? Like, did you know her as a name?
I did not know her as a name, but when the story broke and I looked her up, I was like, I know her work.
Yeah.
You're everywhere I want to be. Like, your MasterCard or Visa or whatever that thing is. But so when right before she was about to start Grey's, you know, she was saying that she had been through a lot of health stuff, and in the writer's room had mentioned she's been through a lot, had a very turbulent medical history, which the writer's room naturally, you know, Grey's Anatomy will take shit from real life, inspired by real life, and put it into the show. And her stories were not an exception. They heard a lot of the anecdotes that she had and were like, wow, can we use some of this for the show? And this is from one of the write-ups. They said, quote, despite being just 44 years old, Finch has seemingly endured a lifetime of ailments and suffering, which helped transform her into an icon of the show. She was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer the year before Grey's hired her. She went through several brutal rounds of chemo, which forced her to unfortunately have an abortion. She lost a kidney and part of her leg and then was required to have a knee replacement surgery only to later learn that she had been misdiagnosed by a doctor whom she later confronted. And she's been very upfront about this. She's written like multiple essays in places like Elle Magazine or like the Shondaland website. But things went a little bit sideways when all of a sudden her wife contacted Shondaland and ABC to said, I think my wife may be being a bit duplicitous about like what she's telling you all. So this all happened because Finch was working on Grey's, said that they had to leave for a pressing family emergency that day and couldn't work. So that her coworkers concerned phoned her wife, asked what was happening. They mentioned like what Finch had told them. And her wife said that the details of what Finch said to the writers at Grey's was eerily similar to her own very specific medical troubles.
That's the part that gets me, because just say this happened to your wife. Just say that it happened to your wife.
Right.
Grey's doesn't change anything.
Right.
Yeah. That's what's so wild when you're like, yeah, so I went, you have just as much proximity as a writer. I'm sure other writers would trust you to being like, oh, you lived through supporting a person going through this. You didn't just read an article. Mm-hmm. Please give us some usable, you know, like something that we can actually inspire the writing on the show. But yeah, it's odd. So right now, Finch has been put on leave and the people aren't quite sure. But the wife has said because of this, like, fought, like what's happened. She's like now going through a quote acrimonious divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So, yeah. I mean, if true, you truly are like, what was the point of that? But I get too, in some creative environment, maybe just very misguidedly, you think, oh, this is going to make me like indispensable to the show, or this will really help me be someone who needs to be part of the show and, you know, help me in my career. But damn.
What's wild is it feels like she doesn't know the show because of the fact that she decided, if she did lie, if this is true, she decided to lie and say that it was her instead of her wife, because the show is about relationships. The show is about the relationships that you build with your coworkers, with your patients, with like romantic relationships. It's about people. It's not just about the medicine. And having somebody whose spouse is going through this and who, like, say, Meredith, main character, the Grey herself, she sees somebody whose spouse is going through this, and it reminds her of when her husband Derek died in like season 12 or whenever he died. That is a story that is, I think, very compelling. I would watch it.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't a compelling character for any medical drama, is somebody who takes the medical history of a loved one for like selfish purposes. That shit would be, I can see that. I don't watch a ton of Grey's. I've watched a lot of like medical dramas, like House, Scrubs, like all those shows. Like, so, you know, where the patient is revealed to like be having like sympathetic ailments based on the ailments of a loved one. The other wild thing is just it's a really interesting, like almost like psychological drama of being the spouse. And like putting these clues together as it like dawns on you, Kaiser Soze, like the end of Usual Suspects style, you're just like, what the fuck? And then you like go and reread the article that they wrote on
that's Elle. The other crazy part, because if she's publishing articles,
right?
You're not reading that shit.
They're like, nah, you don't need to read that. You don't need to read that shit.
Also, you're like, hold up. This character on Grey's, that's the shit that happened to me with the knee replacement and the misdiagnosis. That's in that. It's like, yeah, I told him about you, baby. That's what I told him about.
Something feels funky here. Like, so there is more to this story.
Yeah, that's what I think is odd, because the idea that you're publishing multiple essays, like all the articles say, like she's been very vocal about her experiences. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, is this something, is this more of a divorce and then their people are weaponizing different facts against each other? All to say, messy place, but it's just
it feels very early in the story for the Hollywood Reporter to be reporting it, to be honest. Like, well, especially because it's like they just were replaced. They were just placed on administrative leave to pending the investigation. And it is a story based on around an acrimonious divorce, which those are always real tricky.
Yeah.
But well, and also like it's an issue with medical records. So it is going to be very difficult for them to do a full investigation because you can't just say like, give us all your medical records. Those are private.
Right.
That's a real HIPAA violation.
Right.
But we did want to, I did want to talk about it because I feel like this is something like, have you guys ever had somebody who you knew through like an online community who had a like big medical drama that turned out to not be true? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, I've seen from afar, like people lie about like a thing, but never like personally where I'm like, damn, I can't believe they fucking lied about all that shit. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a story we see a lot or on Twitter. I feel like random fandoms will be like, this guy lied about all like everything. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened back at Cracked. It was pretty wild.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yikes. No, I don't think I've ever been in that specific experience. I have been a part of a lot of large online groups where people have lied about stuff, but never like health stuff, usually financial stuff. And I was in this big Facebook group in LA called Girls Night Out. And it's like the worst kept secret Facebook group in the world. And it's for women. And it's got like 20,000 members. And one of the like main leaders of that group, she ended up getting ousted because she was like in 2020, in June 2020, she was getting donations from people on Venmo. And she said that she was going to be like redistributing them to women of color. And then people were like, show us the receipts. And she's like, oh, I will. And then it took like hours for these receipts to materialize. And they had just been purchased. Like it was like she had just sent the money. There was some shady financial stuff going on. And she had also said that she wanted like money for new protest sneakers. And people were like, you can get your own sneakers.
Wow, protest nice sneakers. Big swing there. I need new protest sneakers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, oh, wow. Bless them. Bless all of them.
Bless them all. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some other stuff.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and NFTs continue to be a thing. So Pepe the Frog is back in the news, the Pepe NFT. So JM, our writer, put it, combining Pepe the Frog with NFTs is like putting Axe body spray on Dean Cain. It's like putting, you know, a garbage scented hat on top of another garbage scented hat.
Yeah.
I thought that was apt.
Okay, sure. Pepe, because I'm sure the artist loves that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the artist, so they had these things called Sad Frogs that were issued like at the earlier in the NFT thing, I guess last August. Mm-hmm. And they looked suspiciously like Pepe. Mm-hmm. And they had made $4 million from a median price of $450 per Sad Frog. And Pepe's creator, who has been, you know, heralded for taking white supremacists to court to reclaim his character, got the Sad Frogs taken down. And,
but the money was made, right?
Yeah. And then they came back at him and claimed, you know, well, like issued a countersuit. But then, like, the main thing they did was they issued a counter notice, didn't include a mailing address, and signed it Vladimirovich, which happens to be the first and middle name of Vladimir Putin. Okay. And so that's, I don't know. Who knows if they're just trying to like posture like they're intimidating or something. But as
more
we're
troll
going
shit,
to though. talk about, like, there is a real tendency for these NFTs, once the money and the value goes unregulated, it all of a sudden starts trickling to the right for some reason. But also, so The last we had heard of the guy who originally drew Pepe, he was like kind of this hero who's like getting the frog taken away from the white supremacists. But now he is like getting into the NFT business, auctioning off an early Pepe cartoon for around $1 million. Launched a DAO selling limited edition NFT tokens for as much as $20,000 a piece, which garnered criticism because people were like, well, who do you think is buying those, man? Like, what community do you think is funding your community fund?
Right.
And then things took a even weirder turn when he auctioned off an image that's in the document that we all can have the pleasure of looking at, that is a nude Pepe next to a waterfall.
I'm not going to look at that. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
You're good. But
Pepe is dummy thick.
Yeah, he kind of has. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Now I'm going to look at it.
I mean, it's Pepe is arching that back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yep. Here's my question. Is that image that we just looked at with the waterfall and the Pepe, that is an NFT that exists?
It is a one of 100. So the plan was they were going to auction one off. That was the one that would be individually owned.
Right.
Then 99 more NFTs of the same image. So just, you know, JPEGs. But they
right, because we have it. We have it for free right now.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get about
it. I believe
NFTs.
We have it in our Google Doc right now. Hopefully the NFT police don't like break down our door, but
we'll delete it later, right?
Yeah. we promise we'll delete it. And yeah.
That's the thing that I don't get about NFTs. Like I know what an NFT is. I know that it stands for non-fungible token. I get that you are the certified owner of a piece of art. But like, I don't understand NFTs. I don't understand why they are big and why I can't just copy paste the JPEG. Like, I know that it's stealing, right, but I can do that. So like, why is the value so high?
It's like, it's all these things. Like, there's like, in right now, there's this company called Socios, which is trying to get soccer fans to buy things called fan tokens, where they're trying to be like, and this is you like giving access to your favorite soccer club by buying a fan token. You can trade them with other ones and they have value. All it is, it's really just trying to normalize people getting using crypto. That's mm-hmm, really right. That's what the underlying thing about NFTs are. It's like, well, shit, not enough people give a fuck about investing in crypto. What if we start saying these little pictures you can buy, that's an investment now. And that's a way to get people to start saying like, oh, well, it's this much Ethereum or this much Bitcoin or whatever. And it's a gateway into sort of understanding crypto better, just to bring more people into the crypto bubble, basically. And you have things that make it sort of appealing where it's like, well, you might not care about crypto, but what if you bought this fan token for Manchester United and now you've used a little bit of crypto? You're understanding, oh, I can sell this to someone else. But again, all of these NFTs rely on the idea that you don't have shit unless you find somebody who's willing to pay more than you did for the shit that you have, mm-hmm, because it's not a tangible good or service. So you're relying on like this like hype market to keep shit going and to keep your shit profitable. And I think that's like what I think a lot of people, you know, many, you know, they call them no-coiners, who are like big crypto skeptics, as big crypto people call them, are just pointing to the fact is like, this gives you nothing. This right. is like, this is
I'm a in that volatile, camp. I'm like, speculative what are you doing?
Investment. Yeah. What? And, you know, again, I think for all the reasons why people say it could work decentralized, you know, like it's not tied to a central, like a government, like federal agency or something like that. Mm-hmm. All you see are the bad instances of it, or that there are just many bad actors who are scamming and using it to potentially, you know, hide ill-gotten gains. And you're only seeing the bad elements of it now. And most people are like, you can see the potential, but what we have right now is not its potential. We're seeing the worst of it. And, you know, markets can be controlled by potentially a few a small handful of people that we're not really aware of because we don't know who owns most of the shit.
Also, it's really bad for the environment. That's the other thing.
Oh, 100%.
I remember I told my mom, because my mom was talking about, oh, I'm going to do this project with somebody and it's going to be an NFT. And I was like, okay, mom, I don't think you know this, so I'm just telling you, NFTs are actually really bad for the environment. I could hear her brain working. She's like, I don't understand. It's not a thing I can touch. So how is it bad for the environment?
Yeah.
Because all these people minting coins or mining coins, all that energy that it takes. And mm-hmm. that's the other thing. And now you have the other part is where two people are just making their own coins to just basically just redistribute wealth, being like, hey, I got my dummy followers to pay a bunch of money for a coin that isn't going to be worth shit. But guess what? Now I have all the fucking money. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. This worked out for me.
So the way it worked with this Fury guy who originally drew Pepe, he drew this, made 100 of these NFTs of naked Pepe, said, I'm only releasing one. That one person paid $500,000 for that. And then...
You could scam two kids into USC for $500,000.
Exactly. And then the DAO later released 46 of the 99 NFTs for free. So now the auction winner is suing Fury, claiming that the free NFTs have diminished the value of his NFT. And like, but this is the thing with, and then it's like, but the whole point of this is that it's unregulated. And mm-hmm. so it makes it very complicated. And again, just to reiterate, the thing allegedly being devalued here is an erotic JPEG of racism's cartoon mascot. But like on a broader scale, there's this article in Jacobin about how, you know, because one of the design features of crypto and NFTs and all Bitcoin is that like it's not something that can be regulated. It's not something that is regulated, basically. And like that's something that sounds great because we're like, well, the like big banks are like have all this power and determine like who gets to borrow money. And like there's all sorts of fucked up shit that happens when you get big, powerful institutions involved with money. And the idea is like this gets things outside of those, like outside of the hands of the existing power players is like one of the pitches on crypto.
I mean, but like public banks are also a thing. that would actually benefit the people. The people get to vote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 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 no.
Don't talk about community banking now.
No.
Crypto, maybe crypto, metaverse.
Crypto,
check out
crypto,
this
metaverse.
New real estate I made on the computer.
I feel so dumb and so old whenever somebody talks about anything related to Web3. I'm just like, I don't know. I didn't even know we were on Web 2. I thought we all had one web that was just webbing continuously.
One web. That's how I feel. You know what I mean?
But I think that's a design feature to make people feel old and dumb because it like doesn't make sense, but it gets people investing because there is this one sort of value proposition, which is it's unregulated and it like has a token that is not going to be replicated. So, and that is yours. It's an internet like based or a digital based token. Like, so that is the thing, but then it's surrounded by all these like clouds and clouds of intricate market dynamics that are just the same as the other market dynamics that make banking like, you know, lopsided. And also the other issue is like, if you've ever been on a forum that's not moderated, like sounds great in theory, we can say whatever we want, get in there. It's almost always Nazis. Almost always Nazis. Almost always a very hostile place for anyone who is not like just a brutal like misogynist. And
my hope for the future is that we get unregulated message boards where it's all people sharing like bread recipes. Like that's what I want. I want like happy like British Bake Off unregulated message board.
Right. Rather than nude peppy and racial slurs being blasted everywhere.
Exactly. And like incels. No, thank you. Just bread.
So a lot of donations that are being made to Ukraine right now are being made in crypto. And like, again, that seemed like in theory cool. In practice, that actually makes it easier for Russian oligarchs to get their hands on the money, since the entire point of crypto is to be free from the sorts of regulations that are being used to punish them financially. And another detail that I hadn't realized is that crypto is largely mined in Russian border countries that are like former Soviet nations, and there's a long history of the profits going to right-wing dictators or right-wing, you know, militias. The profits go to them. The work is being extracted from the people and also the energy grids. There was, I think, Kazakhstan had like these massive uprisings because their energy grid kept going down because of all of the crypto being mined there. And like people died in those. And it's 164 people were killed following protests stirred by the energy crisis in Kazakhstan. And that's 20% of the energy produced locally, mainly with coal, is used to mine Bitcoin. So it's like the people are having value extracted from them in very dangerous ways, and then it ends up flowing to, you know, I don't think it's an accident that the like white supremacist Pepe NFT people who got mad that they got shut down signed their thing as Vladimirovich. It seems like, you know, this article in Jacobin, which we'll link off to, does a good job of just outlining all the ways that history has shown that crypto enthusiasts tend to support, they say, TikTok despots, and the things go to the right. Generally, ISIS operations have been funded, Taliban in Afghanistan, tyrannical president in El Salvador, in Ethiopia, Kazakhstan, and Putin, like a Putin wingman from Belarus, has also been
Lukashenko.
Yeah, he's also been calling on his countrymen to mine Bitcoin for economic development.
Again, though, like very old, very fuddy-duddy me, I'm just like, practically, how do you get that money? Like, if I send money to Ukraine for people to seek refuge, what are they doing with that money? How are they getting actual money that they can spend on things like, I don't know, bread, a thing that I'm obsessed with today, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, they mine the coins. And then I think, you know, that coin has value, but they're usually mining it for someone. And
no, but like, but I'm saying if you're sending it to another wallet, they can like liquidate it so it turns to cash.
Right. Well, yeah. It has cash value. That's what
like on an exchange. Like yeah. on like Coinbase or these other places, that's where you trade the And that's why it's all the other thing though too is like even you know, they have said that like bigger coin exchanges have followed like the sanctions. So it's definitely not easy for a oligarch to move like tons of money because like big coins like Bitcoin and Ethereum are like public enough that you'd be like, whoa, that's a massive amount of like funds moving around that people would be able to see pretty clearly. But yeah, it is, there's just all these things point to not great. And also like when you even look at like the Bored Ape thing, we talked about how the person who was designing those, a lot of extremist people who are like very versed in semiotics are like, there's a lot of like Nazi shit in this Bored Ape yeah. NFT. And people are like, no. And, you know, meanwhile, you have people like fucking Paris Hilton and Jimmy Fallon, like, you know, fucking shilling for them. I got an ape
too. Aww. Yeah. As the crowd like treats it like they just revealed a puppy. That is still the weirdest, like, kind of crystallization of the weird fucking moment that we're in culturally is that if you haven't seen it yet, just go watch Paris Hilton on Fallon where they're revealing their Bored Apes to each other. And the crowd is like, huh? But then trying to being encouraged to do
applaud.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just this quote here, though, I just want to read that kind of sums it all up. Jackson Palmer, co-creator of Dogecoin, which is a top 10 cryptocurrency, used to be a joke, now like literally a top 10 cryptocurrency, describes it this way. He says, after years of studying it, I believe that cryptocurrency is an inherently right-wing, hyper-capitalistic technology built primarily to amplify the wealth of its proponents through a combination of tax avoidance, diminished regulatory oversight, and artificially enforced scarcity. Like, I feel like that is...
straight from the dog's lips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much scary, very capitalist.
Oh, yeah.
Good Doge. Well, we can't top that. Karama, it's been such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
People can find me at Karama Drama on Twitter, KoramaDrama. And catch the new season of iCarly, which drops April 8th on Paramount Plus. Watch the old one. I have an episode there.
Yeah. Amazing.
No, the old season of the new iCarly, to be clear. I did not write any episodes on the original iCarly. Right. I was a child.
When you were 12. Yeah. Or younger, presumably. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. So, Ginny Hogan tweeted, no shit, your baby is crying. You just announced her weight to a group of strangers. And I've never identified with something more as somebody who has had my weight announced to a group of strangers and then cried. It's top tier. Not as a baby, as an adult.
Right.
Not good.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Ray. Also the new podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, an NBA podcast.
We're announcing say it right now, right here.
I'll say the name out loud. Wow. Yes, I'll keep saying it to get everybody's just keep you in just pins and needles with suspense. Premiering March 31st, and yes, it's going to be, you know, a fun basketball show that the NBA said yes, we're okay with these two goofballs.
Hosting a podcast called Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
An NBA podcast. That is
going to be an Aries. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know.
Thank
it's really
you
big
so much. Hard-headed.
I'm an Aries. So I love an Aries.
Shout out Aries gang. Shout out Ram gang. Okay. Let's see. And also 420 Day with Fiance with Sophie Alexander. Obviously, where we talk 90 Day, because that's how we heal ourselves with Trash TV. Some tweets that I like. Let me see. Oh, Brandy Posey at Brandazzle tweeted, my 69-year-old dad just asked me if I knew who Joe Logan was. I just love that. Joe Logan.
Like, this Joe Logan guy.
God, love. Just a slight tweak from an old boomer mind. And at the library, Louse tweeted, are you okay? Oh my God, no. But for the purposes of this conversation, yes, I'm fine. Spot on.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. And I got a shout out. Miles and I have a new NBA podcast.
Hey! Or
if I just did a fully new, just another plug for it. But yeah, check out Miles and Jack Got Mad Boost. He's coming March 31st. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Somebody did one of those like retweet in this thread, like the tweets that you can't forget, and got just a bunch of great ones. Leon from 2015, Socrates. I'm wiser than this man. He fancies he knows something, although he knows nothing. Daryl, Socrates' friend. Fuck him up, Socrates!
Daryl, Socrates.
You know Socrates had a friend named Daryl. And then I'll just go with this one. Victor Weintraut from May 2021 tweeted, whispering to crying baby, you have no idea. Which is dark.
Oh my God.
A lot of crying baby tweets today.
A lot of crying baby, but
cry baby on the mic.
We're all crying babies on the inside. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy today?
Let's do an artist from Benin, okay, in Africa. Rema, who's a big Afrobeats artist. And this is a remix from the unfortunately passed away Virgil Abloh with Fela Kuti. And it's really interesting the way Virgil, like he mashes up Water No Get Enemy with this track from Rema. So it's got it's this really interesting conversation between a current Afrobeat artist and obviously the legend himself, Fela. And it's a great track. Ghana, baby, you know, Akwaba, you know what I mean? Shout out, you know, I'm a Obruni when I'm there, but you know, it's all good. Every time I'm there, they say I'm Arab, but I get it.
Do you think I got called an Obruni one time when I was in Ghana? And I was like, what? We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Just for the record, Obruni means white person, literally.
Yeah. In Ghana, yeah, right.
And I was like, no, I'm an Obibini, please. Let's not get
into exactly.
that. Like, they were saying you it Obibini, as foreigner, right. And I'm like, I'm one of you.
My Ghanaian name is Kwame. I was born on Saturday. The fuck you talking about? So shout out all my Ghanaians out there. Shout out the Black Stars. Shout out Star Beer. You know what I mean?
Oh, the my Ghanaian God. Beer of choice. Please, Miles. Okay. I love Star Beer so much.
I love Star. Or as I was learned to say, they're like, what's Star? I'm like, I'm sorry, Star Beer. Thank you. Again, peace of mind. Virgil Abloh remix with Fela Kuti.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.